I want to play you something. I'm going to ask all of you to just do me a favor. I want you to really pay attention to the lyrics to this song. I've made it very clear over the years that I'm a partial to country music and to oldies, especially like 60s, 70s oldies. And I realize there are people who can't stand country music, and I'm okay with that. There's music I don't like. I've made that clear, too. I don't like rap music. I don't like heavy metal. Forget the country music part of it. Just concentrate on the words. And this is a song written by and performed now by Alan Jackson that he wrote right after 9/11. So just pay attention.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? You rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sought for the ones left below. Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us. Greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes and hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset first time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things. greatest is love, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
Alan Jackson, and that's exactly what happened. The world stopped turning. There were no planes in the air. I don't know how many of you remember how creepy and frightening and sad.
You can do this.
And, nope. What the heck was that?
I think that was a commercial, my bad.
But I do. And we weren't even there. Think about that. Think about the people who were in the middle of that. Those people you remember seeing running from that giant wall of ash and smoke. The people frantically trying to find out if somebody they cared about was alive, because they were in that one of those buildings. What a horrible day. And we can never, ever let any September 11th just kind of float by the way we have Pearl Harbor. You know, when Pearl Harbor Day comes around, some stations mention it in passing. Oh, and by the way, I wasn't born then, but I still realize what a horrible thing it was. This was, to me, actually more horrible. So let's not forget it. There are other songs. There are other songs that were written that were powerful, that were meant to send a message. Toby Keith has a song. It just escaped me, but I'll find it.
Anyway,
Red, White, and Blue.
That's the one.
Yeah, we'll put a boot up your ass. Yeah, that's what a great song. And by the way, if Limey or Tim or Dan, in the course of the show, comes up with another song that they think is even close to as powerful as that one from Alan Jackson, we'll be happy to play it.
No, the one song that really took off after all of that was Lee Greenwood.
God Bless the USA.
Yeah.
But God Bless the USA was not written because of 9/11.
No, I know.
Bless the USA, yes, got a new life.
Yeah.
A whole new life.
Yeah.
And now at 3:18, we start the large morning show in the afternoon.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
shut your suck hole,
crossed over. If I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Good afternoon again, and welcome to the September 11th, 2018 edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. 17 years. I cannot even believe it's been 17 years. Time. When you get older, time, even though 60 seconds is still 60 seconds and a day is still a day, it doesn't seem the same. It seems like it just flies by. Where'd it go? You know, if you tell a 14-year-old, well, you'll get your driver's license in just 2 years. Ah, 2 years! Oh, I don't know if anybody else remembers that, but I was 15 and a half. It's like I was never going to make it to 16.
Felt like a
when
lifetime.
Is that going to get here?
It's flip-flop. Now, I have a niece and a nephew, both of whom were 17 seniors in high school. Neither one has their license.
Because it's not as big a deal anymore.
No, and asked the older one while I was sitting at breakfast at IHOP Sunday if for a ride to work that day. And it's like, you know, how long have you been 16? A year and a half?
My youngest son didn't get his license till he was 19.
But that, look, it's so different than dating isn't what we knew as dating. They all meet somewhere, you know.
But imagine your life right now, any of us on the show, life right now where you had to mooch a ride anytime you wanted to go somewhere. Anytime you want to go somewhere. That you would have to ask the same person over and over.
I'd be walking a lot.
By the way, if you had to ask for a ride and you were 16 or older, you were looked at as kind of a loser.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have a driver's license? Yeah, because that was the first order of business. I couldn't sleep the night before my 16th birthday. It was a bigger deal than any Christmas. I could not sleep because I knew the next morning we're going to the driver's bureau, the Department of Revenue. Woohoo! And then I'm nervous. I hope I pass. I don't fail, because if you fail, you have to wait, I think, till the next day. A whole day.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's an eternity.
If you fail the written test now in St. Louis, they let you take it a second time that same day.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you fail the driving test, you have to wait.
I think only a day.
A day, right. The last time I took somebody to take their driving test, they failed before they even got out of the parking spot.
Oh, no.
Wow.
She put the car in reverse. You know, the cop walked around the car and give me this signal, give me that signal, did all the hand signals, everything. And then he got in the car with her and he goes, okay, now back out of the spot. She puts the car in reverse. I had driven her to the driving test. She looks over her left shoulder, looks over her right shoulder. She starts to back up, and apparently the guy goes, stop! And like another car was coming, and so he claimed that if he hadn't told her to hit the brake, that she would have caused an accident. She didn't even get out of the... I, like, went there and dropped her off. I open up the sports page. I get about two paragraphs in. I see him walking back into the place off of Coke Road over there, off 255 and Coke Road over there by the JB Bridge where the Highway Patrol Station is there. She failed it. She didn't get out of the parking spot.
And the one thing, folks, you'll never figure out about this show, and I'll never figure out about it, is we start off talking about 9/11. Now we're taking driver's tests. It's fun. And my second son, I took him, as I did all of them, to take his test. And when we get in there, there's one section for people who are there for plates, renewal stickers, and the other section, the license, either for renewal of the driver's license or to take the test. You can always tell mom or dad is with a very nervous, pimply-faced kid who's sweating bullets because he's
they're fiddling with something or twitching in the spot.
Because he's about to step outside with, he doesn't know who, some kind of... So we're in there, and I'm with my second son, and one of the parents says, just hope your son doesn't get her. And she pointed to this to this big truck driver looking woman in a St. Louis County police uniform. And I said, why is that? She said, as long as we've been sitting here, and we've been sitting here for a while, she has failed every kid who went out with her. So they call my son's name, Austin, and he gets up. And out walks his examiner, and it's her. Dun, dun.
Remember the female truck driver's name in Pee-wee's Playhouse? Tell him Large Marge.
Was it Large Marge?
Yeah, it was Large Marge.
It was Large Marge. And sure enough, he failed. Now, the proof that this gal was just a biatch, and did this because she got a big thrill out of it, here's the proof. He went back. I didn't say it that way. He went back the next day and got 100, got a perfect score.
Wow.
So he fails one day and gets a perfect score the next day. It's her. Some people just like she was angry. She's just mean and intimidating.
The girl that I took that failed her test, she had not had license for a few years. She was in her 30s when I took her to take this test. So the next day when I took her back in, and it was an old guy. He looked like Droopy Dog off one of those cartoons, right? Next day, I take her in there, and there was a female commander there. I pulled her over. I said, listen, she's kind of traumatized by being in a car by herself with a man. You know, she had an incident early in life. You know, can you maybe get a female? Oh, I totally understand. This gal comes around the car. I'm going to take this one myself. She high-fives my friend on the way out to the car.
Oh, man.
They drive around. She comes back 96.
Yep. That's when you go. You had it knocked before you leave the parking lot.
Yep. You know what I think would be cool?
Look who's here. Dan Stroud.
It would be cool if we didn't have it, and some of the kids now have this. If their parents take them to take their test, they have to do the parallel parking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't some cars Some cars have.
They won't let you use that.
Oh.
No, they will not let you use that. Yeah, some cars do.
the cones they had set up over at the Coke Road place, you could have fit a Mack truck in that thing.
Yeah. Oh,
the parallel parking.
I know.
It ain't like it was when we were kids.
No, I took my son over there at the Coke Road one over there, and you're right, the cones are like huge.
The easiest test of all is the motorcycle test. I don't know if any of you have ever taken the test for your motorcycle endorsement. It's laughable. It consists of something like, okay, start the motorcycle, and then left blinker, right blinker, where's the brake, what do these levers do, and you tell them one's the clutch, one's the brake, and then they also have cones, but all they ask you to do is drive slowly between two cones, just to make sure you don't fall over at a slow speed. And then I think they have you do a simple figure eight. It's a pretty big, wide pattern. And that's about it. I mean, I just thought, well, this is easy. So it is 9/11, and we're not finished paying tribute. And I have some things that either you will have forgotten or you never knew. So I'm ashamed to admit this almost. I spent time preparing.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Part of a show. I know.
That's weird.
I know it is, and it felt weird while I was doing it. But and all that means is I called our research department on the show, and I said, "Is our head of research there, Tim?" And they said, "Hang on a second." And they said, "He's busy," and he says, "You'll have to do this research yourself."
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I did, and all it consisted of was I got on the computer, and I went and pulled up some things that I knew were from reputable sources. So this is not some fake news, urban legend stuff. Some of it will absolutely stun you. We have some other things to talk about, too. We've got a very unusual shooting here. This police officer, this female officer that shot the guy in what she thought was her apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was his place?
Yeah. Everything about this something's not right here. Really?
And then her account, and then there's a couple of witnesses that their stories don't gel.
No, they don't gel. No. And I think what's going to happen very quickly is you're going to find that there's more to this. Mm-hmm. How many times have you, and I've lived in an apartment, how many times have you walked in an apartment that wasn't yours? And I guess if you get drunk a lot, you can.
I don't even think I could do that. I mean,
they're on different floors, by the way.
Exactly.
She's on the third or fourth, and he's on the third.
Yeah. She was on the third floor, and he was on the fourth.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just read a story.
So not only does she park on the wrong level of the garage, she goes into what she thinks is her. And one of the apartments, it was his or hers, has a bright red mat. Welcome in the front of the door. And so you would know right away, wait a minute, this is not my place. I have a red mat, or I don't have a red mat.
Did it mention if she was intoxicated at all?
No, but you know what? She had just done a long shift. She was still in uniform at the end of a shift. That doesn't mean that on the way there she didn't stop and have a couple. I don't know. I just don't buy her story. I don't. So we'll see. We've got that to talk about. Now, before we get to more 9/11 stuff, can I talk to Tim? Is this the guy that's been calling and Dan ignored the phone when it was ringing? Is that No?
No, there was somebody else.
Does this guy want to go on the air? Because if he doesn't, lose him. Well, I'm serious. Dan just makes friends with people on the phone, off the air. He's calling either because he wants to go on the air.
No, he was talking.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Talking.
Yeah, but you know what, Dan? Here's what you have to say. I'm working.
I wanted to make sure I could read the name to make sure it was
just him. Say thank you for the call, but if you don't want to go on the air, I need to jump back into the conversation. Does anybody have anything to say?
No. Are we going to?
Wow.
And in Dan's defense,
are you going to take the call?
In Dan's defense, when I kind of jump on him, he just started this 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So give him time. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't had time yet.
I have one that I think is going to blow you away.
Let me introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is the head of clock resetting for the large morning show in the afternoon. He's head of research. He's head of the news. He does the news. And he's a private investigator. Here now, Tim Woodburn. Wow. You're welcome. What do you have?
That applause is going to be justified when you hear this story.
I'm ready.
I'm going to show you. Now, you're going to have to play along with me a little bit on this here, because I know you're going to want to ask me a bunch of questions, and just hear me out, all right?
Okay.
I missed a call at 5:20 p.m. yesterday afternoon during this show. There's my phone, and there's the proof that I missed a call. Okay. And there's a woman's name on the phone there, okay? Now, I didn't know this was her, when she called, and I typed her name into the contacts now when I call her back after the show, but I missed a call from this woman. Okay. And I can prove this online. If you type her name into the computer, you'll actually see her mugshot from Oklahoma City from a home invasion robbery, apparently, that she participated in. This girl was, her name's Kristen. I'll tell you first. Her name's Kristen. She was the girlfriend of a hockey player on a team I used to work for. And when we took a road trip, she got into his dresser drawer. She was engaged to him. And when she got into his personal items while we took a road trip for a couple of days, she saw that he was also engaged to two other women at the same time.
Oh, that's not good.
He lived on a third floor apartment, and there was a creek right behind the apartment complex, and she took all of his jewelry and all of his, like, anything valuable.
Threw it in the creek?
And she chucked it off the deck and into the creek, and it floated. And this was December Creek, where, like, I think it was frozen when we got back, or it was partially. So, I mean, it was just awful. And she tore his place up, and she went out. She was from Oklahoma City, and I was living in Birmingham, Alabama at the time. I used to live in Birmingham myself.
Whoa.
Hey, whoa.
Birmingham.
So this gal went on a bender when she saw this, and she showed up at our front offices in the middle of the night. She had no money to get home. And so I showed up for work first the next day, and I see this girl passed out against the doors of this hockey team I worked for. And I called the owner, and I said, what do you want me to do here? I woke her up. And she looked all disheveled, and she I could smell booze on
she
her.
She good looking?
Hear me out on this.
Okay.
Hear me out on this.
Isn't that funny? That's the first thing any heterosexual guy wants to know. Nothing else matters as much as, is she hot?
I'm going to answer this question before it's over, and in a way that you're not going to see coming. Okay.
All right.
So I was nice to this girl. I gave her the owner told me to go to the bank, get $100. Asked me how much it was a bus ticket. From Birmingham, Alabama to Oklahoma City. And it was like, you know, $63 or something. This was in the 90s. But it was like a 39-hour ride, you know, to get there. It had to be like, you know, 13 stops, you know. It was just, you know, something ridiculous. So he said, give her $100. I said, well, the bus ticket's $69. He goes, well, just give her $100. She can eat on the other 31. And I'm like,
how much was the bus ticket again?
$69.
Knock that stuff off.
That's my go-to number because that's the year I was born. I think it was 69.
Okay.
So,
shut up.
Yeah, exactly. So I gave her the $100, and then I drove her to the bus stop, and I sat there and waited with her for about 2 hours until the bus came, just so she wouldn't be sitting there by herself, because she was distraught. She's upset. You know, this love of her life that she thought she was engaged to turns out to be a pig, and, you know, she just went off the deep end.
When you were in the car with her, taking her to the bus station, was she unconscious or sleeping?
No, it wasn't that far of a ride. It was in the city. It wasn't that far, but I sat at the bus station with her for 2 hours, and for some reason, I developed not a connection, but a friendship, I guess, a rapport with her, if you will. And she would call me over the years.
I think I know what this rapport is.
Nothing sexual.
Hey, babe, I will take you to the bus station and give you money if.
Listen, you are going to be so eating crow when you hear this story. Because you have no idea how this story is.
Okay.
So this was in like 92 that this happened, right? So she would like call me like at Christmas at like 94, and then maybe again at like 97, and then maybe again in like two. Every couple of years I'd hear from her, hey, what are you doing? This is what I'm doing.
Thank you or just reach out?
Just to check in and say, how you doing? That was really nice. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. She called. She found my number on Facebook and called me yesterday. And I had not heard from this girl, I bet, in 2018. I bet it's been 10 years.
How old is she?
In her late 30s now. Maybe early 40s.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
My favorite age.
Right. So I said, girl, I said, I have not heard from you in a million years. I said, what did you end up doing with yourself? And she blurted it right out. She said, well, things didn't work out for me in Oklahoma City, and I went out to California and became a porn star.
Come on.
And
she told me what her porn star name was.
What is it?
I'll tell you off the air.
What's that? Okay.
I'll tell you off the air.
Why would it hurt if you told us everybody? What would it matter?
Because
porn name?
Because people don't. Well,
I mean,
if you know what's going to happen, you're going to get a bunch of emails. People go, come on, Tim, who is it? And
what's that name?
Her porn name is
Stormy Daniels.
No, did you ever hear the song "Darling Nikki" by Prince?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Her porn name was Nikki Grind. Nikki
Grind.
Nikki Grind.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're looking her up as we speak.
Yeah, and
Pornhub.
Yeah, she's and it's Pornhub. There's some
easy limestone.
And I was just blown away. I just could not believe what this girl. You know, I have no idea. When somebody calls you after 10, what have you been doing with yourself? Oh, I went out to LA and got in the porn business.
Yeah, she did.
First porn star I ever met. Only porn star.
And
ever
did
met.
You say if you ever decide to come back to town, I'll be happy to pick you up. Well, and you're right.
She's like, well, you know, and the stuff that's on that site. Okay, I mean, she that's probably 10 or 15. You know, she's a little. I think she's a little thicker now.
She's in the MILF section now of Pornhub.
Yeah, she is.
You said something kind of interesting. You said the only porn star you ever met, you met her before she was a porn star. I don't think most people have ever met a porn star, unless you go to Vegas when they have that annual porn convention. You can. It's like, they do. It's like the electronics.
My buddy's ex-wife is a porn star.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be amazed.
Were you around
how
her?
Many...
When she was a porn star or before?
No, but apparently he came to my bachelor party and we went to a strip club. She was a stripper there at the strip
club. Did he not know it?
He remembered her, recognized.
Okay, but he didn't know when he went in there, I'm going to run into my ex-wife who's now a porn star. Oh, my goodness.
Nope.
Wow. There's a shocker.
No kidding. She said the reason she did it was because she hung out with some girl one night who went in to get some jewelry that she claimed had been stolen from her, and they entered a house illegally or without permission, and they charged her with strong-arm robbery.
Right.
And so she got convicted of a felony. And it's hard to get a job when you're a convicted felon, and she was, you know, mm-hmm. in her 20s, and what else am I going to do, you know, and that's what she did. I asked her if she made any money, and she said, not as much as you might think. She goes, she said, you know, I'll be blunt with you. She said, they got me coked up and they ripped me off.
Oh, no, I knew you were going to say that. No, wow. I've heard this before.
Poor girl.
They're not fabulously wealthy.
No.
They can make some bucks, but yeah, they pay them in drugs.
Right.
And you know, tickets and passes to concerts or whatever.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah, I talked for about 40 minutes. It takes a lot to surprise me. I've seen a lot, done a lot. That really shocked me when she said that. Mm. I had no idea.
What? I think it's interesting that
you think you know something.
I know how I feel about hookers and porn stars. To me, I would not touch them because to me, too many others have traveled there. If that mm-hmm. makes sense, mm-hmm. it's sort of like beyond just damaged goods.
Well, how about the ones that are married? They're married, strippers and porn.
No, I saw an interview on Cinemax or something.
Yeah.
The husband and the wife are both porn stars.
Yeah.
And then they come home.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not go, hey, I really do have a headache. I was with 8 guys today. I mean,
really not tonight,
how
honey.
Can you? How?
Well, there's actually a very good documentary. I think it might still be on Netflix, and it's called After Porn
I've seen
Ends.
It.
Oh, you've seen it?
It's several parts.
Yeah.
I watched part of it.
That was very good, and you can just see how like their lives kind of, how they pick them back up after they've left the porn industry.
Well, some do.
Yeah.
Some don't.
Yeah.
What happened, the first porn name that most people in this country ever knew was Linda Lovelace,
mm-hmm.
Deep Throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she went on a big crusade, a big anti-porn crusade, talking about how horrible they treated the actresses, and she was really against porn.
Do you know what your porn name is?
No.
Your porn name is the name of your first pet and the street you grew up on.
Okay.
So my porn name is Buddy Rosegarden.
Oh, man.
Really?
Mine's Pepsi Florence.
Mine is Sophie Cemetery.
Mine's Teddy Swan.
They used to do the thing, and they said they did. When I went to high school, they'd say, take any top 40 hit, and then after it, put under the bed sheets. And you could take any, I Want to Hold Your Hand under the bed sheets. You could take any song, the most simple song to, and it always was kind of funny. But I met Marilyn Chambers. Marilyn Chambers was behind the green door. She at one time was kind of a big deal. But I met her in Vegas because I was out there for the Consumer Electronics Show. And right there in the same convention center, I went over and went, wait a minute, X-rated what? And you walk over and they're having their annual...
The porn convention?
Oh, yeah. And all the big porn production companies were there. And they had signs, have your picture taken with Marilyn Chambers or whoever.
Did you?
No, but I went over and just got a look at her, and boy.
Well, who was that that really, really famous pinup star? I think Betty Boop was like pictured on her or something like that. She had, I can't remember the name, but she's incredibly famous. Everybody pretty much knows who she is. She did a lot of modeling, I think, the late 40s, the 50s. Maybe
late 40s?
Marilyn Monroe?
No.
Betty
she had
Grable?
Black hair. No, I think it was Betty something. And then all of a sudden, she just, like, did a complete 180, and now she, like,
Betty Davis?
That sounds familiar.
Not Betty Davis. What do you mean did a 180? No.
She, like, just changed. All of a sudden, she went strictly religious. She changed all her outfits, and she became, like, very, very gang-ho against...
Gang-ho?
Yeah, gang-ho. Like...
Do you not say that over here?
Is that an expression?
No, you not say that over here?
Oh, gung-ho. That's the one.
Yeah.
My bad. I can't remember the
gang-ho is a porno movie.
So she was a... yeah. She was a legitimate actress...
No, she was a pinup model that used to do a lot of kind of like, getting her boobs out, really.
Oh, like Farrah Fawcett did.
Hold on, 50s. I think you know. Jane Russell?
No.
Nobody posed topless in the 40s?
Yeah, they did. Betty Boop did. Betty White
was
did.
A cartoon.
Betty White did, yeah. Betty White posed topless?
Yeah, for the soldiers. Have you never seen that?
No.
She was cute. Seriously, Google Betty White topless.
Betty White was beautiful.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that she ever posed topless.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, Google it. Betty White topless. She's got a nice...
Oh, here she is. She's topless now.
That's why I gave her the boing when anybody says Betty White, because, I mean, in her early days...
Did you find it?
Yeah.
Right?
The actual picture?
There's hundreds, dozens of them.
Of her topless?
Yeah.
Told ya.
Wow, Betty White. There you go. There you go, girl. Wow.
What is her? All right. I need to scroll through.
The same Betty White. Pin-ups. It looks like her, but, you know, she's 109 years old now, and this girl looks like she's, you know, 30. So.
And Betty's boobs now hang down to her knees, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. That's just
Betty Page. That's who.
Well, there's a huge difference.
Hang in a sec. That's who it was.
Betty Page.
Who's Betty Page? You mean Patty Page?
Lucille Ball post top.
How do you not know who Betty Page is?
Wait a minute. Lucille Ball was a babe.
She was a babe. Okay. You have to know who Betty Page is.
These have to be photoshopped.
They are not. They are real. Betty Page. You have to remember
who she is.
Are you kidding me?
No, I've never heard of Betty Page. Like, Dan, have you ever heard of Betty Page?
No.
I think she's been dead longer than I've been alive.
I don't care. A lot of people have, but we've heard of them. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
Betty Page, that's the one. She's
Thank
dead.
You.
I don't know.
She's kind of chunky.
Thank you, texters, for helping me out. Somebody texted over Fluffy Fleming.
What women need to know is that there are certain triggers, there are certain phrases or words as triggers that arouse us, heterosexual men. And one of them is just the word topless.
Yep.
If you say topless, right away in my mind, I picture a topless woman. Mm-hmm. And if you want to really make anything real hot, just throw in that, oh, and she was topless, topless housekeeper, topless car wash, whatever. It's exciting.
Can I be rude for a second?
You're British.
Would you like to? Thank you, Tim. Would you like to speak to the other Tim? He's been on hold for 14 minutes.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Tim, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on? Tim?
Yeah, he hung up.
Oh, I think he hung up.
He hung up because we took too
long. So much for that. So no, any more Burke segment?
That was all I had today.
I'm going to tell you, man. I guarantee you, we all know somebody who probably went into porn in the whole, from the time you were in high school forward, but I think it'd be nice to actually know who they were.
Mm.
I don't know why, because what are you going to do? Call them and go, hey, Kurt, you went into porn. Yeah.
See, they don't hide their identity, though. They don't want people to know it was them when they did it. Like this girl that called me, she's got two kids. One's in high school.
Well, they're going to know.
Well, not
is
if they...
Is she still in porn?
No. She's in her 40s now.
Oh, okay.
But not if she ever tells them what their name... Because how would they ever look her up if they didn't know her porn name?
They probably... How about by recognizing her?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
that might happen.
They're over at a buddy's house and it's
No. I mean, the chances of them stumbling across a picture of their mom getting spit roasted is few and far between.
Spit roasted?
What?
Yep.
What does that mean?
Just think about it.
No, I don't know what that means.
Oh,
one from the front, one from the other end. There's a girl in the middle.
Also known as the Wobbly H. Oh, my God. Edit that out. No, edit that out.
So.
Radio edit.
It's not what we call it in this country.
Spit roasted.
No, that's British stuff.
Wow.
Those dirty Brits.
Yeah.
So nobody has any.
I do. I have some.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Strauss.
And we were talking about weird names, and we were talking about names the other day, like Tim Dick, is Tim Allen, but these are real names because this friend of mine, his wife used to work at a store, And these ladies would come in regular on a regular basis. These are first names.
Okay. Just first names?
Just first names. I don't have last names.
Okay.
The first one is Latrina.
Okay.
Latrina is the first
name. I will tell
you
right now, what you're reading has been passed around for years.
No. This is true.
And everyone has said over the years, this is true.
No, he...
Okay, go ahead.
He verifies
that his
wife
knew. Are you going to do LaMangelo?
No. Okay. All right, no, not LaMangelo. So if Tim could look up Latrina, there is something on Wikipedia about Latrina, the name. And then the other girl's name is Toiletta.
Okay.
So, and it's spelled like toilet with a T-A on the end.
Okay.
Huh.
But Toiletta and Latrina, those are real names. And
Latrina ranked 18,855th in the U.S. Social Security Administration list of most popular baby girl names last year.
Really?
Made the top 19,000.
Latrina?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I Googled Toiletta and all I got was some weird Japanese cartoon.
Really?
Yep.
No, you're on Toiretta. You typed it in wrong.
But he swears, he said that his wife could verify that these women, that's their names, their first names.
Okay. I tend to doubt those stories simply because I've seen the same exact story for years from different people. Like, my wife works at the Social Security office, and the woman came in, and two of her kids were named LaMangelo and Orangelo because she liked lemon jello and orange jello.
Yeah.
So she named them LaMangelo. And I thought, okay, I've heard that 100 times.
No, but I think that these women could actually get a job with Thompson Price.
Kitchens
and baths.
Oh, the bath part.
Yeah.
Bath remodeling. Yeah. We're going to send over our biggest expert, the woman. This is our number one bathroom designer, Toiletta Thompson. Anything else? Or we shut
no, that was it.
Shut her down. The Burke segment is officially closed. I'm going to do a quick bit of business. We're going to take a little break. We'll come back. Dan Buffa will be here today, and maybe... See, I think it's a good idea on a day like today to watch at least one good documentary on 9/11. I try to do that for, like Saving Private Ryan for Veterans Day or something. And there are plenty of them out there. Those two French guys, that's the greatest one ever. That were happened to be in New York shooting a documentary. You ever see that thing?
I have.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan Buffa will be here in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk about TV and movie stuff. It's my great pleasure to invite you to the dealership known as Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. The invitation is not for a specific time like Saturday at 7. It's open. It's tonight. They're open till 6. It's tomorrow night where they're open till 9. It's Friday or Saturday, whenever you want to go. They're closed on Sunday. But it's an open invitation because what I want you to experience is something you may never have experienced before, certainly if you've never been to Johnny Landoff, and that is a dealership where they actually know what it's like to be a customer, not just the person selling the car, and how to treat you accordingly. That golden rule thing, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, that applies to a lot of things. Sell unto others as you would have others sell unto you. Treat people the way you want to be treated. This business about so much down, so much per month, we'll match anybody's price, that's all fine, and you have to be competitive, and I get that. But I don't think that's not the real story at Johnny Landoff. It's there. You're not going to get a better price anywhere. So let's start with that. Get that out of the way. You're not. Now what matters? Matters is how are you treated? Once they give you the keys and the car is yours and you're out of there and you title it, how are they going to treat you when you come back? Are they going to forget you even exist? No. No, they're not. They want your service business, and they want you to tell all your friends and your relatives and your neighbors, this was the greatest car buying experience I've ever had. And that's probably what you're going to tell them. So there. The rest is up to you. And when you do go and check it out or call, please, please tell them your AM and the PM. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, 24/7 at Landoff.com.
And it's time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Nature Valley. You're stacking up westbound 64 between the King Split and the Missouri Bank of the Poplar Street Bridge. Looks like you're slowing now westbound 64 at Hampton and some volume southbound 270 Manchester through Doherty Ferry. Construction slowing westbound 44 Highway 100 Washington to Route 50 Union. When you unwrap a Nature Valley granola bar, you know what you see? Granola. That's because their ingredients are right there. The only thing you can't see is how much you'll love it. So for energy that goes where you go, try a snack from Nature Valley. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. Here's why you choose to work with the Home Loan Expert team. We don't have all that overhead like the big banks, which means you get a lower rate and less cost. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Astonish your friends, guests, or clients with an elegant Saddleback chocolate creation of dark, milk, white premium chocolate. Saddleback chocolates are available for monogram wedding gifts, corporate logoed events, and personalized gifts. Saddleback chocolates, handcrafted, classically stylish, and exquisitely packaged. Chocolate is the answer no matter what the question. Find your answer at Strop's Market and SaddlebackChocolates.com.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
At the Gatesworth, you set the standard for exceptional senior living. Their warm residential setting and commitment to personalized service ensure that each resident has what they need, when they need it, and the way they like it. Start with the active routine, relax, and savor each moment. Visit the Gatesworth on Facebook or schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how the Gatesworth does senior living your way.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. By now, everyone knows that this is the perfect time to refinance. Here's why you choose to work with the Home Loan Expert team. We underwrite all of our own files, which means faster turn times. We don't have all that overhead like the big banks, which means you get a lower rate and less cost, and customer service that no one can match. We're in the office 7 days a week, working till 10 p.m. for you. Give us a call or apply online to start saving now. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Hear people say we don't need this war, but I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day?
Daryl Worley, another country song written so that we would never forget 9/11. Anybody tell me without looking the exact minute, the time of day on that Tuesday morning, which is very much like today. It was a beautiful blue sky day.
I think it was 8:50 something.
You're close. 7:46. How long? These are just to me fascinating facts. How long do you think it took each of those buildings to fall once they started collapse, which I am convinced and always will be, that was an implosion.
I think so, too.
It absolutely was an implosion.
The way they came down.
How long do you think it took them to fall, those giant buildings?
90 minutes.
Yeah, wasn't it? Like,
no. I mean, from the time they started, started to drop till it went to the ground.
4 seconds.
12 seconds.
Wow. Okay.
12 seconds. Number of people killed that morning.
About 2,200.
Just 3,500, I think.
You're all around it. 2,753 people. There were 343 firefighters and paramedics killed. These numbers are, even though we know this happened, when time passes, you forget how just hard to believe these numbers are. Number of New York City police officers that were killed, 23 police officers, 37 Port Authority police officers. Number of companies that lost their people that were in that building, 128 complete businesses, companies, 1,402 employees of that tower died. Employees of various companies in that tower. In Tower 2, it was 614 various employees of companies. By the way, number of U.S. troops killed in Operation Enduring Freedom was 2,443. So that's deaths as a result of this thing after we went to war. Now, let's get to some of the stuff. Ratio of men to women who died on 9/11. Three men for every woman. 3 to 1. Well, I mean, think about it. They were office executives, right. And we still live in a world where that's predominantly male, whether that's right or wrong. Age of the greatest number of people who died. In other words, there were more people 35 to 39 years old who died than any other age bracket. How many? This is kind of tough to think about, but of all the people who died, 2,753, how many bodies do you think were actually intact? Where you go, there's a whole body. I'll tell you.
Ooh.
Only 291.
Wow.
Out of all those people.
Wow.
36,000 units of blood were donated immediately to the New York Blood Center. Estimated number of children who lost parents, 3,051 kids lost parents.
Do you know who Adam Schefter is, Frank?
I don't.
He's the head sideline reporter for ESPN covering the NFL, and he married a woman whose husband died in the 9/11 terrorist attack and had a child with him, a two-year-old child. Yeah. I always wondered what today was like for those people that got remarried and moved on with their lives, and you know, and how he would deal with her, how she would deal with him.
So what today was each lost?
No. Just her. He married her. She had a 2-year-old son. Her husband died in the 9/11 attacks.
Okay.
And he's a very popular TV sideline reporter for the NFL for ESPN. And he married her and wrote a story. Yeah. He actually wrote a story about it. But I always wonder what today was like for a couple like that.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. The one thing I never try to do is I try to watch and avoid saying, I know how you must feel. No, I don't. I don't know how you must feel. How about this one? The number of funerals that Rudy Giuliani attended, that he actually went to, 200 funerals he went to. There are other things you don't think about, that we just don't think about. Like, and the reason this costs so much money, the number of vehicles that the New York City Fire Department lost, 98 vehicles, gone. And those big fire trucks aren't cheap. How many days do you think? Do you remember watching the news and you can still see the smoldering, like smoke?
Yeah.
How many days do you think the fires continued to burn right there in the heart of New York City? I mean, burn. How many days?
I'd say the better part of a week.
Four days. I'll say a year.
Well, not a year, but 99 days.
Wow.
It wasn't until the end of the 99th day that they declared that thing completely out, that fire. Oh, my goodness. Look what time it is. I'll get caught up. I skipped a commercial. We'll get to it. I got more. I got some some stuff that I think some of it you never knew, because now all the numbers have been in for a while. So we'll get back to it. And we will. Oh, Dan Buffa will be in next hour to talk about movies and TV shows. And I get to tell him that I finished the second season of Ozark. We binge-watched it and finished it this past weekend. So don't go anywhere. We'd appreciate that. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Larry Connors. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good afternoon, everyone. The 590 The Fan, KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodward under sunny skies. It is 83 degrees outside. That is the high for today. We're just minutes away from hour number two of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way, and two traffic updates.